May 24, 1979. Lakewood, California.
And one of her grandmothers was named Sarah Emery. Now what do you remember about her?
Sarah Emery? If I remember her, it was when we lived in the Emery home on 4th and American in Long Beach. And my two aunts and back to the brother and uncle were living with at home. Yeah.
What were their names?
And Uncle William and Mabel and Sadie. In that order. And so I used to go visit there as a child. We used to go visit there and they had one trotting horse that they had, racing horse that they had brought with them when they moved from the farm out on Paris Road in the northwest section of Long Beach. And my aunts used to talk about my grandmother were upset about it because the horse's name was Dixie, and when she'd go out with Dixie, go someplace, and automobiles were starting to get a number of automobiles around, my grandmother would be headed for home or going down the street, and an automobile would go to pass her, and she'd whip up Dixie. So Karen Keaton said that she used to come home around and headed for the barn on two wheels when she'd come around the corner standing up. And they were always afraid she was going to end out on her head out in the street someplace, but apparently she didn't. And being a woman that weighed over 200 pounds, I imagine she did make kind of a spectacle looking down there, standing up, looking Dixie trying to keep the automobile from going past her. Yeah. Most of the things I remember there is when there's white dog Fido that had the white picket fence around the home there, and the school children going home and run sticks along the fence, and Fido would make a terrible racket and jump against the fence, and everybody was worried about whether Fido would ever get out, what he'd do to those kids. And one day the gate wasn't caught good and Fido went out and the kids were running and Fido didn't know which way to go. He stood there and looked down.
What did they do for a living?
Well, at that time when I was a child, they were living at home and living off the Emery holdings in real estate business, buying and selling property and selling off part of the Emery property they had that grandmother and grandfather Emery had accumulated.
What did they tell you about where they lived before they came to Fourth in America?
I don't remember being told anything about it, particularly about it. That, excepting what my father talked about.
Well, what did he tell you?
Well, the only thing I remember him telling me was about when they first moved out on the ranch, and he went outside in the evening, and the moon was shining, and he saw two bright eyes out there, and it was a bobcat. He went in and told his mother that there was a wildcat out there in the yard. She said there wasn't any such thing and took him by the hand and took him out there. And then when she saw the wildcat eyes, and she went back so fast, she practically drug him through the air going back in. Really didn't have too many stories about when they were on the farm.
Subsequently,
yeah.
Did your aunts or anybody talk about living out there?
No. I don't remember whatever bringing the subject up.
What do you remember about your other grandparents
folks. My grandfather, John Datewater, and grandmother, Anna Datewater, who were originally from Lyontown, Ohio, and moved to Los Angeles. And then in about 1886 or thereabouts, give it a year or two, moved into what is known as the Lugo School District of the San Antonio Township, Los Angeles County, and the area of now most of it known as Linwood, where they were dairy farmers and raised alfalfa. In those days, the dairy farmers raised their own alfalfa for it and possibly purchased grain for their grain feed, but the alfalfa they raised themselves. And my mother used to tell about, she had an older sister, Anna, and a younger brother, Edward, and she used to tell about how they hauled the milk down to the Anchor Cheese Factory in Compton, California. I've seen it a number of times, and about having to milk the cows, she had a milk cows day and morning. And when she first started milking cows, her brother was too young to milk cows, so her older sister, she helped with the housework and whatnot. And used to tell about one old cow that had to get in the corner and get her head up in her flank. Just stay there milking any other place while she wouldn't be milked. Kicked over. Then my grandfather, grandmother in later years, sold the farm before it was subdivided. They sold it to some of the parties that subdivided it. That's before Long Beach Boulevard was put through. That was put through after the grandparents. Then they moved, bought an apartment house on 3rd and American in Long Beach, 3rd Street, 300 block on 3rd Street, now on American. And lived there for a number of years. My great-grandfather Hoffman stayed with him and died at the age of 93 while living there with him.
What did he do before he came there?
Grandfather Hoffman?
Yeah.
I don't remember being discussed. For a number of years he had a farm in Lake Elsinore. Before he gave up farming, he had a farm in Lake Elsinore. And apparently, after he gave up the farm, that's when he moved in with grandmother and grandfather.
Do you know where he grew up at Lake Elsinore?
No, I don't know what. They had fruit trees, part of it. I remember they had, so they had a fruit orchard, but I don't remember what the crop was.
So he moved in and got along with the family okay?
Yes, he had his own room. There was two apartments, apartments in front and two upstairs and downstairs apartments in the rear, and then it had a room. Upstairs apartment, and he had his own room, and they ate with grandmother and grandfather. And he seemed to like all his children. Was very active right up to the time he passed away. He took about a 3-mile hike every morning and kept the little arm in front of the park with the little box heads trimmed. So he did part of his chair all the time.
When you were young, were you old enough to remember when they still had the dairy in Linwood, Rizzo?
No. I don't remember the dairy in Linwood. One thing is we were clear out of the area. We lived clear out of the area. And we went up to the... I can remember. I can remember one instance on the dairy at the farm. What I can remember there is that's when we were visiting. And I'm not sure what age it was. Grandfather was irrigating the alfalfa, and he had a single engine run by, I don't know whether being that age, whether it was run by gasoline or a heavier fuel, or a diesel type fuel, I wouldn't know. But it had a big flywheel, and it was a single cylinder engine that drove the pump. And they run a 6-inch galvanized pipe. It was by the well, and they had a pipe out in the field, and then they would add joints and go where they wanted and have the L's and whatnot. And I can remember grandfather would get that engine to going. Then he'd head out to the field. About time he'd get out where he wanted to go and quit. Then he'd come back. And after he did that several times, it probably was a good thing I didn't understand German. Because he was sure talking to that engine in German. And you could tell by the tone that it wasn't anything. And that is one incident I remember on the farm, but I don't remember. My recall is not too good for those days.
So, you said they came from Ohio, but had they come originally from Europe, or?
Oh, my grandmother and grandfather originally came from Switzerland. They were German Swiss. And then came to Ohio, but I don't know too much about their early days. My mother was born in Firetown, Ohio. And then they said the year of the big flood, and I think one would have to look that up, was when they left Ohio.
Do you know where you were born?
I was born on my grandfather and grandmother's home, which at the present time is just north of where the Sears Roebuck store stands on Long Beach Boulevard on the Linwood Compton city limits. It was just north, and Bullis Road at that time, which runs on the east side of the Sears store, which is Temple Street in Compton, and Bullis Road from there on up, was the main east-west road. And the farmhouse was on the west side, back a short lane off of Billiff Road. And I was born there, and my older cousin, who is 7 years older than I am, was born there.
I think you talked about the names of your aunts and uncles, but you didn't say the name of your mother and father.
Well, my mother was Mary Elizabeth Bateswater Emery, and my father was Nan Edward Emery.
And do you know how they met?
Well, my mother said that they met at a country dance. And mother was evidently quite smitten, because he was a gay cabaret. At that time he wore a big wide-brimmed black Stetson hat, riding a horse with silver-mounted saddles and with silver-mounted gauntlets, a rifle in the scabbard on the saddle, and a .45 on his hip, which he had to leave out when he came into the dance hall. And he seemed to be quite popular with the girls, and that was the way I was told that they met. And he was one in the country pretty much at that time.
Did her family approve of him?
That I don't know. I never heard that discussed after I was big enough to know I was taken. And,
so anyway, they got married.
Yeah, they got married.
Do you know where they got married?
No, I don't. I don't know where they lived.
Do you know where they lived after they got married?
Well, the first year they lived in a little house on the west side of Parish Road, now known as Santa Fe, and north of the Willow. That little house stood there for many, many years afterwards, and had various letters in it after it was not much of a place. And when I went away, moved out of there, went
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one brother.
And what's his name?
Lloyd Edward Emery.
And no sisters?
No sisters, the two of us is all. He lives in Huntington Beach. He has a wife, Lennon, and three children. Lloyd.
And are you older?
I'm 5.5 years older.
I assume you're older since you're apparently named after your father.
Yeah. Yeah, my father was named after an uncle. How come I come with this first name, which many people seem to have a hard time remembering and handling.
Where's the first place you can remember that you live?
Where I actually remember living is in Tustin. We lived in Tustin. But when I was 5 years old, we moved from Tustin, but just my recall at 5 years old isn't as good as some people. And they talked about enough afterwards and all. I remember them talking about they used to, at that time, they fumigated the orange trees, a process which was later years discontinued, and spray, but they put a canvas tent over an orange tree and used
the California?
Oh yeah, that's I can't think the name of it now, but deadly. Just a teeny bit on his tongue and had it. But anyway, they used to vaporize. I can remember about that because there was one young fellow and they talked about it so much and said, well, this is my last roll that I'm going to fumigate. And like guys always talk about, they're going to quit the job. I remember Dad saying, everybody laughed at him, you know. Yeah, you'll be fumigating here when the rest of us are gone. So when we got to the end of the roll, we put the cyanide, a little bit of cyanide on there. And that was it. So they talked about that enough that I could remember that. And I remember it was pouring concrete I don't know what they was doing, whether it was the sidewalk they're putting in the foundation for a building. It was on Tustin Avenue. And I was across the street where I wasn't supposed to be and talking to the men over there. And so I asked how they made it, and he said, oh, they put in nails, and he gave me a big story about all the stuff they put in it. And I told him, I said, well, you know, you're lying to me. And my dad came and saw me, and he said, well, he picked me up. Got me. He saw me from the shop, because that motorcycle and bicycle shop was just about half a block from there, and he saw me across the street there. So he, this construction worker told him about me calling him a liar. Dad was going to give me a licking because talking to an adult like that, calling him in the construction worker told him, not while I'm around, Ron. He said, I was lying to the kid. He said, he just was had a little bit more savvy of what was going on than I thought he did. And he said, I was lying to him. So he said, you know, whipping while I'm here. Those are too many things I haven't done in testing. Well, when my brother was born, he was born in Tustin, and on the 30th, and it's practically Halloween, and a bunch of the motorcycle gang come over, and they got together, and his mother was home, his brother was born at home, and she had a pretty hard time, but anyway, I understand. But a bunch of motorcycle gang, we lived in a little frame house, and a bunch of motorcycle gang got together, and they all went up and hit the side of the house at the same time, like a great big boom. And it frightened mother, and frightened me, and Dad got to 45 and went outside and said, all right, you guys, I'm going to give you a count of 10, and I'm going to start shooting. And he said, those fellas, they headed down the road and then started disappearing orange grove, and he started shooting in the air, and they started hollering. They were hollering. That's the essence I remember in that age. Oh, one other. Why do we talk here? Those motorcycle guys and Dad on 4th of July night, they used to have big long Roman candles. And when people go by in a horse and buggy, they light those up, and then they shoot the horses with the fireballs. Sometimes the horses would run away, and the people would be silent. They thought that was great fun, using the Roman candles to shoot the horses. One fellow got out of his horse and started whipping them, and then I just got to look at what he was going to whip. He got back in the air.
Did motorcycle people have a bad reputation, like Hell's Angels in those days?
No, they were that same type, but they were rather rugged type, but most of them that rode the motorcycles, a little bit of the devil may care type. I don't know what people used to say anyway, you know. Out for a good time, but as far as outside of something like that, why they, which any group might do, not just motorcycles do, but that's just how I happen to get in on that. I guess those things impressed me to where I remember them. But of course nowadays, if somebody, if it was available, I could start shooting an automobile, that would be like the...
So, how long did you live in Tustin?
Oh, well, I don't know, what did you say? Yeah, but I lived in Tustin a couple of years, in the year 1909 and 1910, and then in 1911 moved to Santa Ana.
And do you remember anything different about living in Santa Ana?
Well, Dad was in the motorcycle and bicycle business there for until the first part of 1911 until the last part of 1914. And then we moved from there back to Long Beach. We went out of the bicycle business.
For any particular reason, or?
It went bankrupt.
Oh.
You had too many good friends, loading too much money, and he couldn't pay his creditors.
Is that why you moved from Tustin to San Antonio also?
No, he went into bigger shop and whatnot when he went into the shop in Tustin to San Antonio. Well, he had friends such as motorcycle officers at that time had to buy their own motorcycles. And they had a new motorcycle, a twin engine one, that came out, a big heavy one. It was called an Ace. I don't know who it was made by. But at that time, you had to break your motorcycle then, your automobiles. You couldn't do like, they weren't built in for you like they are now. You had to run them at a little lower speed to it. And Ballard had a new baby and a sick wife, and he had to have his motorcycle. The other one was shot. So he said, well, I'll take the motorcycle and take the highest price of the big one, because that was the one that would lend down the rest of them. And so he told him to take it, and then when he got on his feet and squared out of the family life, he could pay for it. This was before he had everybody bought something on credit card. So Ballard, the first thing he did, he took it out and he burned it up. Closed the pistons. Brought it back and said, here, this darn thing is no good. So he ran the motorcycle. Never paid a dime on it. He had a lot of good friends like that.
Ballard was the cop?
Yeah, he was a motorcycle cop.
In Santa Ana?
He's no different than a lot of cops now. But, so, it was things like that. I know, I can remember one instance when this happened, and a friend of his wanted to borrow $5, and Dad said, well, $5 won't get you any, I'll let you have your 50. But when he's gotten tight and tried to collect his debts and loans off, there's no paper on this. He didn't believe in writing up. Those particular group of people anyway, they didn't believe your friends are your friends. And I think in the early days in a lot of countries, states, and in California, where you depend upon the neighbors and whatnot, I don't think they wrote too much promissory notes and whatnot. You figured that there was a fan and an honest one. And anyway, Dad was born in Los Angeles, and he didn't grow up as fast as the country did. And so then when he got the type, why, everybody was either broke or they had something special they had to have the money for, and ones that owed him for equipment, for repair work, and for just out and out loans, why he couldn't get it in to pay his bill. That's why he went bankrupt.
Did you go to school in San Antonio?
I went to the fourth grade in San Antonio.
What school did you go to?
Roosevelt, I think, on First Street.
And then what did your father do when you moved back to Long Beach?
Well, he worked in the bike shop for a while, and then he drove the jitney bus for several years. And,
he worked in somebody else's bicycle shop?
Yeah.
You know where it was?
Well, as I remember, it's that one, the Eighth American. But somebody told me there was never one of the Eighth American business. And on the southeast corner. But, yeah, I gotta know because to go to Long Beach when I lived up with Florence Avenue. I still swear there was a bike shop there, of course, at 8th and America.
You know who owned it and what the name
of the shop? No, I don't remember the name at that time. But I've had some folks in Long Beach, not longer than I've been, but in Long Beach, living in Long Beach many years more than I did, tell me that there wasn't a bike shop at 8th and America. But I still see the school was at 8th and America. George Washington School. I went to George Washington School for more than half a year. I went to Horace Mann School, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grades.
Was there a difference between the school in Santa Ana and the school in Long Beach?
I really don't remember enough about the school in Santa Ana to compare it with the school in Long Beach.
Did you like going to school?
Sometimes. I can't say that I was one of the most enthusiastic students.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, I think one thing that bothered me in school, I was never allowed to stay after school to take part in any of the activities. I had to be home. I was never able to be in any athletic program on any team or anything because I had to be home. All the time I went to school the same way. As I got older, I worked in the evenings and whatnot.
What did you do when you were younger? How come you had to be home early when you were younger?
Well, because that was partly my dad and partly my mother. It was partly my dad. Wasn't home a good deal of the time in the evenings, but never had a feeling that I was home. He didn't want his kids running around and getting into trouble and whatnot. And just what was behind all of it, some of it I don't know. But I think that may be why I never got any more enthusiastic than I did about school, because I was never able to participate in any of the activities outside of what took place during the school day.
Where else did you live in Long Beach? Or where did you live in Long Beach?
So, let's first do what we had one in there. Let's see, that was... Well, the first living at the, on the Elm, Elm Street, and then lived at the corner of 3rd and American in Long Beach. From 1905 to 6, I lived on Elm, and 1906 to 7.
After you lived in Santa Ana, where did you live when you came back to Long Beach?
Well, the first year I lived just north of 8th Street, not very far from the Balboa Studios. You know, kids used to go down and sit on the curb down by the Balboa Studios to watch the movie actors come in and out. Fatty Arbuckle was one of them at the Balboa Studios then. And the story was around, I can remember then, that Fatty Arbuckle used to borrow nickels for hot dogs off of people for his lunch for a good many years, and he got to be pretty well paid.
Oh, you mean before he was famous?
Yeah, before he was famous. And he used to hang around the Balboa Studios and always bumming something off of somebody. That was a story around. I'm not able to authenticate. And then we moved from there.
Did you ever see any other famous people or anything else about the Balboa film?
No, we never was inside. We saw most all of them were there at the time, and Maria Osmond was a child actress at that time. And I don't remember the different actresses and actors, but all we did mostly was just go down there and watch the people go in and out.
Okay, you were
going to
tell about the next place you lived before I interrupted you.
Well, that was, we moved on Freeman Avenue north of 10th Street. I went to Horace Mann School, 5th through the 8th grade. I like a lot of things about the school. I used to be in the school in the class soccer team. The coach wanted me to. And we had the 1 year when I was in eighth grade, I think it was, we had the city championship. As I remember, there was 13 grammar schools in Long Beach at that time, and we had the soccer championship. And I was on the team that the regular team practiced against. And they wanted me to be on the team, but I couldn't get the okay from home.
When did
Dad
start working? You said you worked after school.
Most of the work I did was like kids did up to recent years. Mow lawns and then stayed up yards for some people in the area to help put in the garden. And I had my own garden and I stayed up in my own yard at the time. And then on the north side of it, some folks named Draper, he was the maintenance man for the Kennebec Hotel, and she was the linen lady for the Kennebec Hotel, and they had a house next door to it. And they had two lots, 250 by 150 foot lots, and they kept 500 white laying laying hens. And they used to trap them for the layers, and get rid of the ones that they never showed up on the nest. And so I worked over there and used to help Mike dusting the hens and scraping under the hen roof.
What's dusting a hen?
Lice powder.
Oh.
Using lice powder, catching the hens and holding up by the feet and ruffling the feathers and dusting lice powder in on them used to do. And then they helped some work in the garden. They had garden that they was carrying chives and greens, some green food to the chicken, and they had everything else, all tomatoes, all different produce, vegetables. And I used to raise them up, and I used to sell, go around the neighborhood and sell them, lima beans and carrots, lettuce, those kind of things. And then there used to be a man who lived the next street over, which was Horizontal, and just north of us, and there was back vacant land over there. There was one house right across the street from us, but there wasn't any north of that. And he had longhorn goats. Some of them had big curl horns. And he had the goat carts, and he had used to take the goat rides down on the recreation area, known as Recreation Pier at one time and Silver Spray Pier at another time, down by the pike. And for a nickel, I used to take a goat ride around the pike, and I used to take my corn husk and corn stalks that over there for these goats, so I used to, whenever I could get down to the pike, I got a free goat ride around the pike. His name was Shipley, I don't know what I said. He used to have a big white beard. I don't find too many people that remember Shipley down there. Maybe none of them had that free free ride on the go-kart like I did.
Was that a... When I think about the pike in the old days, I always think about pictures of people walking and hearing people talk about going down on the pike and walking around. Where did he have goat rides? Did he...
Well, on the pier, the concessions were around the pier.
Yeah.
And there was quite an open space in the pier there where there wasn't anything. And his goat rides would go down, around, and loop around the pier in front of the concession.
Oh, and you could just see all the sights.
You just go around and see all the things you wanted to go into, or if you just had a nickel or another dime or something. And they had the fun house and the house of mirrors, and one place everybody used to like to stick by. Let's see, was that, I think it was outside the fun house, the house of mirrors. They used to have an air jet out there with a mirror. And the girls used to like to take a look and see whether their hair was all right and whether their lipstick was on. And then somebody would hit the air jet. That was a popular corner.
What else did you do for recreation besides riding the
go-kart?
Play soccer.
Oh, we used to go swimming.
Where?
Down the Belmont Shore area, Belmont Pier. And we didn't go down to Anaheim riding very often because down to the lagoon down there because it was quiet water, but there was lots of stingrays down there. Usually you go down there, somebody in the party would get stuck.
So you went on the ocean side?
No, we went over by Belmont Pier.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the surf. The beautiful clean surf and clean sand. And the water at high tide, low tide, come up and bounced against the bluff. And people didn't leave broken beer bottles and trash down there on the beach.
Were there houses where Belmont Shore is now?
No, there wasn't anything in Belmont Shore. When we moved away from Long Beach, we were starting to dredge sand and fill in the tideland waters, back bay waters. And there we used to have this kind of salt marshes in there. We dredged in sand and whatnot, filled that up, and built homes in there in Belmont Shore.
Is that where the stingrays were?
No, they were going down the cliff. Like Anaheim, where the lagoon, where the lagoon, and then on down further to Anaheim Landing, that's quite a ways on down, where the Naval Depot is, down there, that's where the stingrays. Well, there used to be a few of them near Belmont Shore, too, but there weren't very many. They lay just beyond there is the breaking line. They learned to be very professional swimming. They learned by its main strength and awkwardness and other kids showing you how to swim and whatnot. But we, by staying with it, we used to manage to swim around Belmont Pier now and then. And we fished from Belmont Pier. One time you get squeezed and you could surf fish behind the breaking line without standing on it and get Corbina and spot them, what not the surf fish. Get herring like snagging by the back pool.
Were they good to eat?
Yeah, herring is good. Some of them small, you want to fry them first. Then we used to sell them. Some of them, people camped along the top of the bluff just east of Belmont. People camped just east of Belmont Pier. And we used to have some gunny sacks.